The First Testament lesson today is from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Listen to the word of the Lord. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second testament reading today is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. While this is attributed to Paul's letters, we really aren't sure, but it fits the philosophy and theology of what Paul would write. And he is writing to a group, possibly a church in Rome, who is struggling with their faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these, and he's referring to ancestors he's mentioned earlier, all of these died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance, they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. As we continue in our series on the vocabulary of faith, looking at the words we use regularly when expressing our faith and what they mean, it only makes sense that we stop today and look at the word faith itself. What does faith mean? Being the scholar that I am, I Googled it. According to American Heritage Dictionary, faith is belief that does not rest on logical proof or material evidence. Random House Webster's dictionary says faith is belief that is not based on proof. And according to the Westminster Dictionary of Theological Terms, It is trust, belief. And my own personal definition of faith right now is trashing your sermon 2 days before you're scheduled to preach and trusting that the Holy Spirit will lead you into writing a new one. The common denominator here is that faith is believing in, believing that something is true without concrete evidence. And according to these definitions, there must be room for hesitancy or questions. Otherwise, it would be defined as knowledge instead of belief or trust. Abraham is the epitome of someone with questions while still trusting and believing. Earlier in Genesis, we learned that God told Abraham to leave his country, his people, his father's household, and go to a land that God would show him, all based on the promises of land, descendants, and blessing. And knowing nothing else, he went. How many of us would just leave everything behind, everything that is familiar to us, and just go without knowing how things would unfold, having no idea, let alone even knowing the destination? The concept of family meant everything to a person living in the time of Abraham, and it was very unusual for family members to live several hundred miles apart from each other. But by faith, Abraham went. Abraham's faith was certainly tested, especially later regarding the sacrifice of his son, Isaac. And we can only guess at how Abraham really felt at that command. While we know that God holds him back from the sacrifice, the point is that Abraham's faith was stronger than his love for his son. We also learn from Scripture that Abraham was not without sin and failure, but that God held fast to God's promises. Abraham's life teaches us what it is to have relationship with God. Abraham not only shows us what it is to have faith, but what it is to live faithfully. He believed in God without any concrete evidence that God's promises would come to fulfillment. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is attesting to in his letter. Written to this church in Rome, the writer is very concerned that they're drifting away from their faith. While not being persecuted at that particular time, they had been early and would be again later. But Christians were unpopular, and the writer is concerned that they will not hold fast and that many will return to Judaism. The book of Hebrews begins with the statement that God, who in ancient time revealed God's self through the prophets, has in these last days revealed God's self through the life and teaching of a son. Leaning on the faith of Abraham and many other ancestors, the author encourages them and us to remain strong in our faith. We are told that faith does actually provide substance and reality, giving us a ground to stand upon. Not only that, but faith gives us the courage to move forward into the unknown. But still again, what is faith? In his book, The Heart of Christianity, Marcus Borg, based on Niebuhr's work, writes that faith has four primary meanings in the history of Christianity. The first is faith as a census, or assent, assenting to the truth of a claim or a set of claims, believing that a statement or a set of statements is true. And this really took off during the Reformation and period of Enlightenment as more creeds were being written and people started dissecting ones that had already been written. The second is faith as fiducia, trust, having a radical trust in God. Soren Kierkegaard gives the metaphor that faith is like floating in 70,000 fathoms of water. If you struggle, if you tense up and thrash about, you will eventually sink. But if you relax and trust, you will float. And I really hope this rings a bell to some New Testament stories for you. Faith as fidelitas, which is faithfulness, which is a radical centering in God. Being faithful to a relationship, not necessarily to doctrines and creeds, but to the God to whom they point. Not faithfulness to statements about God, but faithfulness to God. And the last is faith as visio, which is a way of seeing. A way of seeing the whole, of seeing what it is. Faith as a set of eyes through which we see the world. Seeing the world as spoken of by Jesus. For how we view the world affects how we respond to it. The first meaning of faith, assent, is primarily a matter of the head. The remaining three, trust, faithfulness, and a way of seeing, are more matters of the heart. Someone once told me, I love worshiping here because I don't have to leave my intelligence at the door. And I couldn't agree more. It is important, crucial even, for us to use our critical thinking skills. Faith does certainly involve the head. But perhaps more importantly, faith involves the heart. Faith is taking God at God's word. Faith is trusting that the promises of God have been or will be fulfilled. Faith can include doubting and questioning and arguing and challenging God, but in the end, trusting and following God. Faith is not something we put on a shelf and dust off to bring with us on Sundays to worship. Faith is not a thing that we simply attain. It is not enough to say, I have faith, and expect God to do the rest. Faith leads to action. Faith is something we live out as faithful people. It is filled with momentum, leading us where God calls us, into the known and into the unknown. Faith is being faithful. It is a matter of aligning our lives with the purposes of God and living in relationship to God, involving both our hearts and our heads. And this relationship leads to transformation. Again, faith is taking God at God's word and living our lives in active, grateful response in relationship with God. Faith is traveling into the unknown with the trust that God's promises have been or will be fulfilled. On August 28, 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. stood on the steps of Lincoln Memorial and looked out as he gave his I Have a Dream speech. There certainly was no concrete evidence for the end of racial segregation, but his dream of a just and an integrated America was not based on fact. It was based on faith. His faith in God's transformative power was, to him and others, the assurance of things hoped for. He stepped forward in faith because he was called, and he believed God's promise of justice and righteousness. Being faithful, he traveled into the unknown. We tell faith stories of Martin Luther King Jr. much the way the writer of Hebrews tells the story of Abraham. The hope of heaven is not separate from the hope of a transformed earth. I'm going to repeat that. The hope of heaven is not separate from the hope of a transformed earth. Neither King nor Abraham nor the other ancestors mentioned in Hebrews saw the promise of their call fulfilled in their lifetime. They only saw it off on the horizon. Yet by their faithfulness, they continued to move forward into the unknown. They held fast to the promises of God, knowing that the future belongs to God, while also knowing that faith calls us to action. Abraham's faith wasn't a blind faith. His faith was based on the promise of and trust in the God who had already proved to be faithful and true. Abraham didn't live to see the full fruition of the promises, but he remained obedient and faithful. And this is the message in our scripture from Hebrews today. The message is as timely today as when it was written. And if we ever find ourselves doubting or waning in our faith as the church in the book of Hebrews was, we need only look at the promise fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our faith need never be a blind faith. Our faith should be based on the promise and trust in and relationship with our Lord and Savior, who has already proved to be faithful and true. The constant call of Scripture is to live our lives on the basis that God is both good and steadfast, and Jesus exemplifies this. Our faith is to be expressed in trust, love, obedience, and action. And the more we express our faith in active faithfulness, the more our theology will expand, while the simpler and purer and more childlike our faith will become. What a beautiful thing. And so our challenge this week is to ask ourselves, do I trust in the promises of God? And how am I putting my faith into action as faithfulness? Let us pray. God of all time, guide our heads and our hearts and our actions to be reflections of your faithfulness. In Christ's name, amen.